joy to be with you this morning, and I trust that you have come expecting something from the Lord. I already broke the equipment, so cheap stuff. No. Making this generation. I trust that that you have come expecting something from the Lord. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you need something from the Lord? So if you need something and you're expecting something and you're believing God for something, I believe God will give you something. And as I've thought about this service, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, and I want you to see a picture of the heart of Paul toward the people in Rome. This blessed my heart. And if you have a pastor who loves you, and you do, this is what you ought to envision when you come to church on Sunday. It's certainly what I'm envisioning for us to gather today. Look in verse 7. Paul says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul said that just every time I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, and you're on my heart. And thinking about your needs and thinking about your battles. And he said, "I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." So Paul said, "I'm hoping that I can make this journey." And when Rhonda and I were in North Carolina, I was hoping I could sneak her across the border out of South America over into North America. So we made it across the border. So we wanted to come here. And John called me, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago and asked if, maybe 5 weeks ago, if I could preach today. And so my desire was, as God began to lay this message on my heart, that I could impart some spiritual gift to you. So the question is, did you come today ready to receive a gift? If God has a gift in store for you today, are you ready to get it? Rhonda and I sit in churches a lot of times, and I'm a pretty observant person. And so I watch the preacher, but I see those around me, and I see across the way, here's a lady on Facebook. And so she's catching up on her friends. And so I don't know what God had in store for her for that service, but chances are, whatever the gift was, she didn't get it. Because, well, all she got was something from Facebook. Don't let the enemy rob you. Some of you may be thinking, "Well, when service is over, I've got X, Y, and Z. Or I just did this before I got here." If you want a gift from God, you got to be willing and ready and able to receive it. And so Paul said, I want to invest a gift into your life. And then he said this, "That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Now, that's already happened to me quite a bit today. When I first walked in the door, first person I had to see was, who do you think I might see when I walked in that door? Well, I did see Phil a little later. Pete! And Pete was already working me over before I even got up to him. What a blessing. And I would just tell you, my faith was enriched by just being with Pete and with the guys back there, Chris, and seeing the greeters at the door and every the greeters out in the parking lot. And my faith is strengthened and increased through the mutual bond we have in Christ. And so let me just tell you something. I wouldn't have gotten that if I wasn't here. Now, I'd have been somewhere else. I wouldn't be home sleeping, eating bonbons, but I'd have been at Bradford or in another church somewhere. But our faith is increased and strengthened by our mutual faith together. So now, if you will, here's the gift. The gift is found in Mark. Unfortunately, I hate to disappoint Robbie. We're not going to Acts this morning. But who knows? We may get there a little bit, but that's not the plan. In Mark chapter 4, I was sitting in a church a few weeks ago, and I had to stop by a place in North Carolina. And so I found a little church in a little place called Nankina. And so I drove to this church. I sat down in the back. And as I sat down in the back, I was dressed about like I am now. And a woman looked over at me with a knowing look and shook her head like and said, and then with her mouth, she said, "Glad you made it." I thought, whoa. Where to make it to? And so everybody started turning around looking at me and kind of nodding their head like, and I thought, what in the world is with this church? What's going on? Well, what I didn't know is they were expecting a guest preacher, and he had called and said he was drifting around out in the boonies and couldn't find his way. So everybody was looking at me saying, "We're glad you made it." So the guy who is heading up the service gets up and he says, "Well," he said, "we were, you know, we were concerned about our speaker, but we're glad he finally made it in." And I said, "Not me. I'm not your guy." And some of them looked at me like, "Yeah, right. You know, this guy's a jokester." And the woman that had looked at me the first time I walked in, she looked like, "Yeah, right, you know, you're not the guy, we know, got that joke." And so eventually the guy did show up, and so everybody realized it really was somebody else. So a guy came to preach, and he was about, he was in his 80s, and a visiting preacher. And sometimes you never know what you're going to get. And so I will confess to you that I was thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure how great this is going to be. And so the guy took out his Bible and began to preach from Mark chapter 4. And my heart was stirred and touched by this old picture that we've all heard and we've all seen. And so for the last few weeks, I've been thinking about this scripture in Mark chapter 4. And so I want to tell you something today. If you will get a hold of this scripture, it will be a gift, because there's a powerful story that's given to us in Mark chapter 4. And so if you'll look in verse 35 and follow along in your Bible, it says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The first thing I want you to see is here in, if you'll look in verse 37, it says, and there was arose a great storm of wind. I don't know where you are today, this morning, but it may be that some of you are in the midst of a great windstorm. The winds of life, or the winds of trial, or the winds of difficulty are blowing against you, and you feel like that you are just about to be blown over. I was probably the greatest wind that I ever remember was the blizzard of 1978. And Rhonda and I were living near Bradford on Hahn Road. And I remember going out in that storm, and this was a storm that in Dark County blew feet of snow over cars and almost to the tops of houses, and they brought major equipment in just to break through and plow open so that cars could get through, and they found cars under the snow, and it was just the hardest blizzard that I ever remember. And I remember going out in that wind, and I think it was 70 or 80 mile an hour wind, and trying to keep my place as I was walking, as that wind was blowing against me. And so it overcame my will of how I wanted to go and how I wanted to walk. And let me tell you something, if you're a guy that likes to walk like cool, no cool walking in that wind. You know, you see people come up with a little walk, how they like to walk, you know, little jaunt, little bounce, little head tilt or whatever. You were just, you know, walking, trying to maintain your balance and hold on, and so that you didn't get blown away. Recently, most of us watched the news of a storm called Dorian, and winds came from across the Atlantic and hit the Bahamas, and the winds just settled in over the Bahamas until one little part of the Bahamas, one little island, was virtually leveled. And it was a place where there were a lot of refugees, a lot of little huts. And so watch the storm of a little island that basically was just flattened just from the wind coming. A couple years ago, you remember when we saw the pictures of Mexico Beach. Up until probably a couple of years ago, I didn't even know there was such a thing as Mexico Beach until I was talking to a young man named Weston, and he said, oh, my heart has been pulled toward Mexico Beach. And so I got a map and looked and figured it all out and found out where it was. Before Weston was able to get back there and be part of a little church a few miles from Mexico Beach, a storm came and hit that part of the beach. And some of those homes have not yet been restored. And a lot of that area still has not recovered from wind that came. There can be overwhelming wind. Not only that, the Bible says there were overwhelming waves. You ever been in water when the waves come up? Let me just tell you something. Chances are my wife and I will never have to worry about those big waves. You want to know why? Several years ago, I wanted to do something nice for Rhonda, so I hooked up our boat, and I drove up to Cedar Point and found a launch point, parked a trailer, and was going to go out on the lake. And so I was real excited to do something special for my wife and be a good husband, be thoughtful, be the husband of the year, go beyond the call of duty. And so put that boat in, got my wife down in the boat, and backed that boat out about 6 or 8 feet. And there were 2-foot waves, and Rhonda said, get me over by that dock right there and tie that boat off. Why? She couldn't handle those waves. We weren't worried about 10-foot waves or 15-foot waves or a rogue wave. We were talking about ripples. And so we had this nice anniversary celebration sitting over tied to the dock. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. So I don't think you ever have to worry about Pastor Dan and Rhonda being caught out in some huge waves, because she's not going to let that happen. But there were overwhelming waves. And then the Bible says there was overwhelming water. The Bible says that the water, those waves, came over the boat until the boat was full. Probably the most lasting impression that most of us have of a city being covered with water would be when Katrina hit New Orleans, and here's a city buried in water. And they have not recovered from all of that to this day. Just water, water everywhere. And I have been in deep water before, and I've helped people out of deep water. I have grabbed little children. One time we were at a swimming pool, and Madison, for whatever reason, just decided to, we're walking along the pool, and she just decided to step off into the pool. So all of a sudden you see this little head floating, and hair floating, and so I reached down and grabbed her and pulled her out of there, and didn't pull her hair out, but it's a bad thing when you get in deep water. They were in overwhelming water, and they were in overwhelming wonder. The Bible says they were paralyzed by fear. Now, you need to understand that these are not city slickers. A lot of these guys are fishermen. They have been on boats. They grew up on boats. They were called to ministry off of boats, Christ called them. So they knew water, and they knew wind, and they knew waves. But this water, they felt that they were going down, and they were paralyzed with fear. And I want you to see how paralyzed they were with fear. Look in verse 40. When they woke Christ up, he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" A pretty tough place to be when they lost all faith, all hope. And let me just say this. Fear, overwhelming fear, drives out faith. Faith and fear can't coexist. And so they had some faith because they got on the boat. They came out on the boat with Jesus. But by the time the winds and the water and the waves got done with them, these men, these grown men, these seasoned men had lost their faith. And the Bible says they had no faith that they were going to make it. Now, what we see here in the end of this chapter is God steps in into their circumstance. And I want to share with you in this scripture, just in the next few minutes, what they missed about their circumstance. The first thing I want you to see is they missed the unfailing promise of God. Notice what he says in verse 35 when this all starts out. let us pass over unto the other side. So notice what Christ says. We are going to the other side. They missed that. So Christ says, I am going to the other side. Now, if Christ says he's going to the other side, he'll make it to the other side. Christ says, the boat is going to the other side. And if you stay in the boat, we are passing over to the other side. So there is the unfailing promise of God. So how do we avail ourselves of that? The first thing is, you got to get in the boat. And if you're not in the boat with Jesus today, and the storm comes, and the winds come, and the rain comes, you're on your own. Now, the problem is, if you've ever been in a massive storm, you can't paddle fast enough or put your sails high enough or low enough to deal with the storm. In fact, I watched some of the trailer of the movie The Perfect Storm, and it's so gross and gruesome that I don't even want to watch the movie. I don't want to think about being out on water like that, in a storm like that, in a perfect storm. And yet, if you are in the boat with Christ, he is taking the boat to the other side. In my life, I know everything I've faced. I don't know all that I will face. I don't know what winds I'll face. I don't know what waves I'll face. I don't know what water I'll face. But this I do know. He's taken me to the other side. I am his child. My faith is in Christ. And he has taken me to the other side. So you got to get in the boat. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, for goodness sakes, why would you let this service pass without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're in the boat? I mean, that everything is clear between your soul and your Savior, that he is your Lord and you are his child, and you're on your way to the other side. You got to get in the boat. Second thing is, you got to stay in the boat. Let me tell you one of the problems that we're having in our society, as our society is in a place of rejecting what we all knew to be true for all of our lives. And now some of the very foundations of our society are turning against God, against good, against right. And the Bible says, in the last days, many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so we see in our day that parts of our society are just departing from truth and right and faith and good and God. And in an alarming way, they become hostile to what is good and God and holy. And then all of a sudden, we have become the irredeemables and the deplorables. For somebody to look at people who have faith and love God and love family and love marriage and love right and love truth and say, you're a bunch of irredeemable deplorables. I don't even know how their mind gets there. Because from my standpoint, there's no more wonderful people who are salting this earth than Christians. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. You're what helps keep destruction from coming on this nation. Because you do love God, and you do love good, and you do love right, and you do love marriage, and you do love children, and you do believe that children are a gift of God. And that's God's plan. Stay in the boat. Then let me tell you this also. Stay out of the little ships. Did you notice the Bible says that Christ got in the boat and along with him were many little ships? A lot of people got on some little ships. Now, if this boat was full, the big boat was full, chances are a lot of those little ships, or maybe all those little ships, didn't make it. Get on the boat with Jesus. Don't get in the little ships. You say, well, what are the little ships? Well, some of the little ships are things like church membership. That's a ship. Membership. Oh, I belong to this church, so surely I'm going to heaven. You can sit in this church, you can hear the sound of the gospel, and never surrender your life to Christ and be forever lost. Another little ship, baptism. Oh, I've got to be going to heaven. I got baptized. Why, baptism doesn't save you. You can go under the water, a dirty sinner, and come up dirty sinner. Water doesn't clean you up. It's the washing of the Word of God on our souls whenever we trust Christ as our Savior and we are regenerated. We become a new person by faith. For by grace are we saved through faith alone. And it is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So stay out of the little ships. First thing, they missed his unfailing promise. The second thing they missed was his unseen purpose. I'm sure Christ may have been tired. He was overwhelmed with all the crowd that pressed on him and ministry and worn down from ministry. But I don't believe he was sleeping on that pillow in the back of the boat just because he was tired. He was sleeping on the back of the boat because he had a purpose in these guys' lives that he wanted them to see and understand about the storm. And God may allow some storms in our lives because he has a purpose for the storm. And if a storm does come, he has promised that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And so whatever your storm is, if God has allowed it to come, he will use that for your good. I've sat with people who have gone through storms, and they told me this storm made me angry. I sat back in that room right back there in what we now have as our kitchen with a man, and he has not been here for years. He visited our church for a while. He said, I am angry at God. I'm angry at God. Why? Because God took my little brother. My little brother died, and I saw my parents on their knees weeping and sobbing and wailing about my little brother. And he said, I'm angry at God over that. Well, let me tell you something. We don't understand those things, and I want to hold on to all my grandkids. I want to hold on to all my kids as long as I can. I want to hold on to my own life as long as I can. God gives us a desire to live. It's a healthy thing. It's a wholesome thing. If we didn't have a desire to live when things got a little tough, we'd just check out. That's something God puts inside us. But as God took my mother and God took my dad and God took Rhonda's dad, I had to understand, and Rhonda had to understand, that God has his purposes and God makes no mistakes. And we can be angry with people. We can be angry with circumstance. I mean, don't let it eat you up. But for goodness sakes, don't become angry with God. God is good all the time. Now, it may not feel good to us, but for the person that he is dealing with, he is going to do good, and he will use it for good in your life if you'll surrender it to him. There was an unseen purpose. The last thing they didn't see is that he has unbridled power. I think one of the reasons that it appears Christ chastised them a little bit about their lack of faith is because they had been walking with Christ and they had been witness to all the amazing things Christ was doing. In fact, the very reason they were on the boat was because so many crowds were pressing in on them that to get a little relief, Christ would get in a boat and have him push him out in the water because people were constantly wanting to touch him. And they had seen people who had been healed simply by touching Jesus. So the crowds were pressing in. The crowds were coming from everywhere. And so he could minister. There were times he'd say, "Let's get in a boat," and they'd push out from the water, and then he would be able to stand and teach and preach without the crowd pressing and people trying to touch him and all of this. So they had seen that. They had seen people healed. They had seen demons cast out. I don't know if there's anything that I would think would be as wonderful as someone who is totally possessed of demons being free to sit and have a happy, wholesome, healthy life. And Christ did that. He cast the demons out. You say, "Well, you know, I don't know that I believe there could be demons today." Well, fasten your seatbelts, buddy. There are heathen lands that experience a lot of demon activity and demon spirits going on in their darkness and wickedness and evil. And as America turns further and further away from God and truth and good, you'll see more of the power of Satan manifested in the lives of people in open ways in the coming days. And you don't have to worry about it. I mean, if you stay, keep your heart and your trust in the Lord, and you may not want to go everywhere. Rhonda and I have gone into some restaurant situations. We thought we were going to eat, and we walked in, and I could just sense a spirit in there. I said, "Rhonda, I got to get out of here. I don't want to eat in here." Just a spirit that was prominent, and it was not a spirit of God. And so they had seen demons cast out. They had seen lepers healed. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? If you had leprosy and parts of your body were starting to fall off and be eaten off, you were losing fingers and maybe you were lost part of your ear and part of your nose, and this flesh-eating disease, which is surfacing itself now some in America, they don't call it leprosy, but they had, this was such a devastating thing that the only thing society knew to do with them was put them in a leper colony. So when and you were required when you came out to call out, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me, don't breathe around me, don't touch me, don't be near me. You don't want to get this disease." And so you have these people all isolated, and Christ walked in and healed the lepers. How awesome is that? They'd seen that. They'd seen him healing the lepers. They'd seen him healing people of palsy. And recently, we heard about a man that we had known for several years in South Carolina. And he had some form of Parkinson's that was so bad that he couldn't even drink a cup of coffee. He couldn't drink a cup of coffee with both hands. And so he didn't want to go to restaurants. He didn't want to try to eat a piece of pie. He didn't want to try to drink a cup of coffee. And so the doctors examining him said, "We think we've got something that might work." And so they put a halo brace on his head to stabilize everything, to stabilize the instruments so they would not go 1 millimeter or milliliter out of the way, millimeter out of the way, and so that it would be just exactly right. And they took those instruments and went down into his brain and took some kind of an electrical device that they could turn up or turn down. And by the time they got through the procedure, they tested that, and his hands were perfectly still. And for the first time in years, he said, "I can go to a restaurant and drink a cup of coffee." Well, the Bible says Christ just touched people and healed them of the palsy. These disciples had seen all that. And Christ says, "You see me touch the leper and drive out the demons and take care of the palsy and heal the sick." And people that were healed simply by touching me. And now we're in the midst of a storm and you have no faith. You've lost all your faith. In closing, what's the answer to this? I think what they could have done, and it's easy for us now, we're looking at the picture in retrospect. And so we get the benefit of all the story and all the scriptures. And so we are so much advantaged over where they were. But as I think about their circumstance, let me tell you what I think they could have done. They could have gotten close to Jesus. So if he's in the back of the boat, and apparently he was on a raised up area, he was on a pillow, so he was able to sleep. Apparently maybe a little bit of a covered area. And so they should have said, "I tell you what I'm doing. Jesus said we're going the other side. I'm going to get close to Jesus. You climb up on that side. I'll climb up on this side. We'll just gather in around and we're all going back with Jesus." No, what they apparently were doing, they were fishermen. They were knowledgeable men. So some of them probably were either putting the sails up or pulling the sails down. Others said, "Row, we got to get to the shore. Row, man, row, 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 row your boat." Others may have had some old buckets saying, "Bail, man, bail that water out. We're going down. Get that water out." The truth is, when you're in those kind of winds, and when you're in those kind of waves, and when you're in that kind of water, you're in over your head. So you can't bail fast enough, you can't row fast enough, you can't sail fast enough to overcome this kind of a storm. But what you can do is run to Jesus. That's why, for goodness sakes, folks, be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. Some of the things that God does in the lives of his people, he only does in church. He says, "Gather together. I got some things I'm going to do." When you're together, when you come together, I've got some things I'm going to do for you. I'm going to lift you up to sit with God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to do that when you're together. And it is God's intention today when we leave that we should be elevated a little bit from having been raised together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I had a meeting with some preacher boys yesterday, and in honor of my wife, I said, "Let's meet at Cracker Barrel." So I sat down with these guys, and we had a wonderful meeting. And it's a wonderful thing to me to see some young men that are on fire for God. Young man named Mark, on fire for God. Young man named John, on fire for God. Another young man named John, on fire for God. Young man named Danny, on fire for God. A young man named Alex, on fire for God. Preacher boys that I gathered together to sit down and exhort them a little bit and encourage them and instruct them a little bit. So when I got done, I was the last one out. I walked out, and I bumped into a guy from Mount Vernon. And he said, "Fancy seeing you here." And I said, "Yeah, fancy seeing me here." I said, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm all right." "Yeah? I used to go to church with him." Several of us used to go to church with him. So I said, "Let me ask you something." And he probably knew what I was going to ask him. I said, "Are you in church?" He said, "No, I haven't gone to church for a long time." He'd gone through a lot of stuff in the church. He'd gone through a lot of stuff in his home. Maybe still going through a lot of stuff in his home. And so he said, "I just don't go to church anymore." I said, "Well, I'm not the senior pastor anymore, but," I said, "let me tell you something. I want to tell you something, my dear friend. Now, you listen to me. If you'll come out to church, the people will love you, and they'll care for you, and they'll be a blessing to you." And he said, "I know that." Here's the sad part of this story. He's been in a lot of storms, and he's got storms coming. And he's just going to try to fight through them by himself. But that's not God's plan. God's plan, Christ says, "Come up close to me. Come to my house. Come to my word." Most of us have read this story many, many times. But I hope that today and every Sunday when we look at the word, you see some new stuff. Some new pictures, some new thoughts about how awesome God's word is and how good God is. You only get that when you get close to Jesus. Take time to pray and call on his name. Call on his name from your bed. Call on his name when you're driving with your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Rhonda and I, a lot of times when we're traveling, I drive, Rhonda sleeps. So if we're at 2 o'clock in the morning, we'll be driving along, and I'll hit a bump or something. Rhonda, are you awake? "No, I'm asleep." "Do you have your eyes open?" "No, they're closed." Then she's... And this cloud of darkness really throws her for a curve. But we need to pray. We need to get close to Jesus. I don't know where you are or what you're going through, but this morning, the message is, number one, are you in the boat? And number two, are you getting close to Jesus? You say, "Well, preacher, I tell you what. I'm pretty well storm free." Well, you won't be for long. And I've always said, you're in one of three places related to the storm. You've either been in a storm, and some of you look pretty battered. No, you look good, but I know some of you. I've talked to you, some of you this week that have been in a storm. You've either been in a storm or you're in a storm. Some of you are in the storm today. Say, "Preacher, this wind. Preacher, this water. Preacher, these waves are overwhelming me." But you need to get close to Jesus and don't lose faith. Our God is abundantly able for all of our needs. "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory." My God is abundantly able to do above all we could ask or think. And so that's the kind of God we serve. I'd like for us to stand together this morning. And if Lindsay would come to the piano, with every head bowed and every eye closed. There may be those here who would say, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest this morning. going to be honest, I don't know that I'm in the boat. I hope I am. Oh, I think I am. For goodness sakes, why in the world would you hope or think about your eternal salvation? If there's anything you better know that you know that you know that Christ is your Savior, that He's living in your heart, that you are His child. And this morning, as Lindsay plays a little verse of invitation, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if there are those here who would say, "Preacher, today, I don't know that I know that I know that I know that Christ is my Savior. Don't know that I'm in the boat. The Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart." Now, the Bible says, no man comes to God except the Spirit draw him. And so the Holy Spirit has an amazing way of pulling us to Himself. And if you're here today and you would say, "Preacher, if I died tonight, if I went out onto 36 and I had a wreck and I went out into eternity, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't know that I'm in the boat. Would you pray for me?" If you're here like that with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up so that I could see it? Just raise it up just so I can see it. God bless you. I see that. Anybody else? I don't know. Don't know. I wonder if there are those here who would say, "You know, preacher, the storms are overwhelming me. And the Bible or the scripture today has convicted me that there's some areas in my life where I need to get close to Jesus." Maybe you say, "I've drifted," or "I've let some things down, and the enemy is fighting me and overwhelming me in areas of my life." And I'd like for you to pray for me and pray with me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, "God has spoken to me about something in the service. I know I'm saved, but I'd like for you to pray for me." Would you just slip your hand up? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, all of us, all over the church. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being able to say, "Peace be still," to the storm. And now I pray, Lord, that you will accomplish your purpose in our lives with the storm or through the storm, into the storm or out of the storm, that we will get close to you and even let the storm drive us to our knees or drive us to your side and to get close to you. I pray for those who raised their hand that they were not saved. I pray this might be the day or the service that they'll give their life to you. And for all that you do, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Lindsay plays this scripture this morning, you mind the Lord. Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but there's some things I need to surrender to God." There are people that have knelt at this altar and committed some lifelong struggles and burdens to the Lord. And got victory, left with victory over some of those battles. So you mind the Lord. Lindsay, if you will, lead us in a verse of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. I surrender.
Steve Mathias, would you come up here for just a second? Steve comes up here. I want Steve to sing a verse of song. So I thought about this service and where we are. Get a microphone, Steve, and want him to sing a verse of "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," or at least the chorus. "Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Today, and let God use His word. And if you say, "Well, preacher, I didn't get anything out of Mark chapter 4," well, for goodness sakes, go home and read it and reread it and reread it, and by George, you will get something, because it is a wonderful picture of God's power and goodness and blessing and grace. It's good to have my wife with me, Southern Belle. Still not a ding-a-ling. And I'm going to ask Rhonda to go to the back. And we'd like to shake your hand, especially if you're a visitor. But if it's been so long since you've been here that you look like a visitor, I know that's what you're saying about me. Gotten some of your attitudes already busted over onto me. But the Lord bless you. Shake hands with one another. We'll never be assembled like this again. You're dismissed.